Welcome to Sisterhood, having conversations that matter with me, Lorianne Sheldrick, an incredible woman who support, encourage, and empower other women. While you are here, you will be supported. You will empower yourself so that you can be supportive to others and begin to fully embrace that we cannot be empowered women if we do not support those who are being disempowered. That is the magic that lies within sisterhood, and it only works if we do it together. The purpose of sisterhood is to create deep and meaningful connections with other women, have conversations that matter, because women need other women, and together we are going to be, do, and have all that we desire. It starts right here, right now, with me, my special guest, and with you. Let's begin. Welcome to the magic of sisterhood. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Sisterhood Podcast. I'm so grateful that you're here today. This is such a beautiful conversation. I was joined by Megan Weir. Megan is a soul embodiment and business mentor. And what I love about Megan and the work that she does is that it's actually difficult to describe. And I'll tell you why I love that. I love that because as human beings, so often we grow up and we're taught and we're just like conditioned to think that we have to be in this one box. We have to do this one thing. We have to be this one thing. We have to do this one thing. That's who we are. That's what we do. And anything outside of that is just like craziness, crazy talk, crazy to think that you could do all the things that you want to do and encompass them into your business if that is something that you want to do. And that's what Megan does. I connected with Megan from another sister of mine. Her name is Ashley, and Ashley was on the podcast as well, and she connected me to Megan, and I was invited to one of Megan's online retreats, and I have to say, her embodiment practice helped me so much to feel and express my emotions in such a safe way and to get the stress out of my body. I didn't even know that I was feeling unsafe. And I was doing this embodiment practice that she was teaching and sharing with everybody, and it made me really think about how the past couple of years so much of us has really had our lives shaken up. I mean, I had to like restructure my entire business, not to mention just all the things that I needed to do personally and professionally the past couple of years because of the global pandemic. And I didn't realize how unsafe and insecure I felt because I couldn't name it. I was just like everyone in survival mode. And when I was doing this embodiment practice, Megan wasn't having us name anything. Megan wasn't having us say, okay, work on this one feeling, work on this one emotion, claim this one emotion, just let the movement do what it needs to do. And I was moving, and I think I explained this to Megan in our conversation, but as I was moving, I could feel emotions bubble up inside of me, and I just wanted to cry, and I'm moving and I'm crying. And when I was done, I felt like something had been released from my body. And now I understand, after having this conversation with Megan, it was that feeling inside of me that wasn't feeling safe. There was this part of me that wasn't feeling safe. And I think so many of us have felt and experienced that the past couple of years or just within our own lives. And I had so many questions for Megan, but we ended up going into this deep conversation about feeling safe. So we just went with it. And that's what this conversation is about. It's about feeling safe. It's about feeling safe with your emotions. It's about feeling safe with your body, in your body. It's about feeling safe with being your authentic self. It's about feeling safe with taking off the mask you've been wearing that provides you with protection, but it's no longer serving you, right? Those masks that we wear and how we become disconnected from ourselves and how we become disconnected from our bodies. It's literally like sometimes we're living an out-of-body experience. So that's what we're going deep into this conversation today about. Feeling safe in your body. Listening to the messages that your body is telling you. Feeling safe with your emotions. Megan shares her beautiful story that led her to the work that she does today. Megan shares her experience. Megan shares what embodiment practices are. Like, we just riffed. That's what I loved about this conversation. It was just a conversation. Like two women getting to know each other, asking each other questions, telling each other's stories, telling each other's experience. Loved this conversation and fell in love even more with Megan Weir. And I think you will too. So enjoy this conversation with Megan. All the links to connect with Megan and me and Sisterhood are, and all the other guests, all in the show links. You can just access everything there. Megan is very active on Instagram. She provides so much value on her Instagram page, and it's at the Megan Weir, link in the show notes for you. Wishing you the best day, wherever you are, whatever your experience is right now, I'm wishing you the best day. And as we always end, we end with a remembrance. Remember that you are good enough. Remember that you have always been good enough. Remember that you will always be good enough. And remember that it is safe for you to be you. Sending you so much love. Enjoy this conversation, and I'll see you back here next time. Bye.
Okay.
Welcome, Megan, to Sisterhood. Thank you so much. I was just saying before we actually officially recorded how much I've just wanted to have you on the Sisterhood show. And I just like something that I loved about you. First of all, it was my friend Ashley who connected me with you. She's like, you have to follow Megan. You have to follow Megan. And I started following you. You just embody like this perfect blend of masculine, feminine energy that like, no matter what I'm feeling that day, the feminine or the masculine, I'm like, Megan's got all of it. You have all of it. So I would just want to, we go right into it on this show. There's no fluff here. I know that you have a story. Can you share your before and now and how it led you to do the beautiful work you do today? Because the work you do today doesn't come out of someone who's never had their own massive transformation themselves. You wouldn't do this work or even have been guided to this work, to work with all of us, to heal all of us, if you didn't go through your own transformation. Can you talk about that a bit? You know, if you can just sum it up and like...
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, no, I love it. And thank you for that, the beautiful blend of masculine and feminine, because I resisted the masculine for so long. And so thank you for saying that, because it's something that I've been really leaning into as opposed to resisting. So
yeah.
Well, my story. So I was born and was really empathic. Like I was sensitive. I didn't understand what that meant, but I felt things. I knew things. I was very intuitive and very empathic. And I always felt like I didn't belong. And I always felt different. And I always had this like deep yearning to return home. Mm. And then, you know, when I was younger, like I was always told that I was so happy and outgoing, and I was called Bubble. And something happened when I was a young child where my innocence was taken away. I was sexually abused at a very young age. And I really learned to disconnect from my physical self. So I really wasn't able to feel things like I once was. And if I did feel things, I didn't want to feel it. So I learned to numb out at a very young age. And when people shared with me, "Oh, you're bubbles," it's like I'm dying inside. Yet I was portraying to be this happy, go lucky, carefree, loving spirit. And so I really learned to put on these beautiful masks to portray to the world I was something that I wasn't, because I also learned that I had to be strong because of my external environment. And so I really learned to don all these masks and all these layers and all these walls as a form of protection. And so fast forward to around the age of 11, 12, because the feelings became so much and because I wanted to disconnect and dissociate, I developed an eating disorder. And so I was bulimic for 18 years. And so you can imagine what that journey was like. And for me to let go of that eating disorder was really, it was like breaking up with your best friend, you're getting a divorce. It was so challenging because that was the one thing that I could depend on throughout my life. It was something that I knew that I could always go back to and was always there for me. I also learned that because of these big emotions that I was suppressing, I needed to get out somehow. And I also knew that these feelings that I wasn't feeling, I needed to absorb them somehow. So I would numb these big feelings through the binging, and then I would release everything through the purging. And so to unlearn all of that, especially after 18 years, was quite a significant journey. And so in between all that, because I know a lot what you do is all on sisterhood, I also learned that it didn't feel safe to have a lot of friendships in my life because of the bullying and because of the gossiping and because of like the mean girls and the cliques and just again always feeling like I didn't fit in and I didn't belong, and then trying to put these masks on to be loved and accepted, I just completely lost myself in all of it. In the sexual abuse when I was younger, again when I was 19, and then having these harsh friendships, relationships, I really learned to not trust myself and in turn not trust others. So
It's like our stories are so intertwined. We have like different, we've had different experiences, but all these different feelings. I was the same where I couldn't get close to, especially other women. I couldn't get close to other women. Boys were like my drug, and other women, I couldn't get close to them because I was so afraid that people were going to see that mask. Like, especially, I think I intuitively knew that other women just know things, right? Like, we just know. So, always having that mask on, and my comfort was not eating. So, I was anorexia. I had anorexia, disordered eating, whatever you want to call it. My thing was controlling what I ate. And I felt the same way. Like, when I had to let that go, because it obviously wasn't a healthy coping mechanism, as you know, it was like breaking up with my friend because it was the only thing that I had control over was how I felt. I felt like it was the only thing I had control over was what I ate and my body size. And like it felt so comforting to know that no matter what, that's something that I control, even though I was so out of control. It's such a funny thing, right? Like the things that we turn to as coping mechanisms because we feel so out of control are actually the things that end up making us spiral even deeper into the darkest parts of ourselves.
So dark.
What brought you out of that? Like, was there a pivotal moment in your life where you just were like, okay, this is my rock bottom under the rock bottom and under that rock bottom? And it's like, I better get out of this because if I don't, I'm going to end up just staying here forever. Like, did you have a moment that just like popped you out of it?
Yeah, I did actually. I was just completing, I was just graduating from nursing school. And throughout that time, like that period, there was glimmers of like intuition of when I was that little girl, like, hey, like you don't need to be in this space. Like there's other possibility for you here. And so I kept getting the tap and not trusting it, but eventually I did. And when I graduated nursing school, I was not applying for work. And my dad was just like, "What's going on? Like, why are you not applying for work?" And I broke down. I was like, "I can't help anybody until I help myself." And so that was a pivotal moment for me. However, that was also an interesting journey in itself, because once you build up that courage to be like, "I'm not okay. I need help." Like, again, in the space of control, like when we are in control, we know what's going on, even though it's detrimental to our health and, and like our mind, body, soul, at least we have control. And so when we open up that space to receive support, it's very vulnerable and it can be very, very scary, right? And so it was for me, my first,
Yeah, it's so scary.
yeah. My first counselor, and I understand now, but when I was at that young age and a young woman seeking help, like he knew it was beyond his scope of practice, so he said he wasn't able to help me. But I took that as a big rejection. It was like, oh, like okay.
Yes.
Then I was referred to an eating disorder clinic that only took like really severe cases, so they didn't take me because my case wasn't severe enough.
Oh my
So,
God.
yeah. So it was like, okay, I'm too much. I'm not enough. And so that really ingrained in my subconscious, like, I'm too much. I'm not enough. And so that was like this thing that an additional layer that I needed to heal through. So, yeah. And then fast forward to getting to where I am today, I started working with like somatic therapists, which was incredible. I really started getting into yoga and meditation. I didn't know it was embodiment at the time. Like, I'm all about embodiment, but I didn't know that at the time. But that's really what was able to get me back into trusting my body's wisdom again. And then I started working with a coach, and that's when things really started to transform for me. So, yes, it's important to heal all the things from our past. However, I knew if I were to stay in that, it would keep me stuck and stagnant and repeating these same old patterns of behavior. So it really allowed me to move beyond, like heal, release, heal, and then move beyond.
I love that because that is a similar experience I had shifting from therapy, which was so helpful for all the past stuff and learning new coping mechanisms and really wonderful. But it wasn't until I worked with my first coach that I started to feel like I was leaving the past and really fully, finally stepping into, okay, what's next now? Right? Like, I'm not that 15-year-old girl anymore. I'm not that 20-year-old young woman anymore. Now I'm an adult and that coach helped me move forward. So it really is this like it can be a beautiful blend, but I find so often as much like I'm such an advocate for therapy, but I find the best therapists are the ones who have a beautiful blend of a like their therapy practice and a coaching practice as well, where they really do, but a lot of them aren't trained to like embody your body and to get connected with your body again and to trust yourself again. And it's like it's such a balance, right? I guess it just depends on what you need when you need it. And you needed all of it. It was just that you had to shift as your healing shifted.
Yeah, 100%.
Did you find, because I know this was for me, you spent all these years trying to hide all these parts of yourself by wearing these masks. Were people surprised when all of a sudden you're like, by the way, I'm not okay, and this is how not okay I am? Were they surprised, or did they know all along? And you just thought they didn't know, right? That protection mechanism was like, no one knows. Look how bubbly and perfect I am. No one knows. Well, all along they knew. Like, was anyone, did you experience that, or were you just really good at hiding it?
I do believe I was really good at hiding it. I do believe a lot of people, I think some people know, like if you're portraying to be so perfect and everything's all together, people know that like there's stuff going on that you're hiding. But I do believe like most people felt like there wasn't really anything going on. Like,
Yeah.
because I hid it so well. I hid it so well. It was so, like, and so secretive, right? Like, it.
My God, you just become the best secret keeper. Like, I have to say, like, I couldn't lie to save my life now, but
No.
back then, man, I could lie like no one's business. Like, I was just, it was, but again, it was that protection mechanism would just kick in, that fight or flight would just kick in, that I was like, this is literally, this lie is for my survival. So it didn't feel like a lie. And I think that's what makes you so good at keeping those secrets is you just, it feels like a life or death situation. So you have to be good at it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's so true. Yeah, I do feel, and I know my family, like my mom, like I had a huge scar on my right knuckle from purging. And my mom would always rub my hand, is everything okay? And it's like, yeah, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And then there was never any questions asked, you know?
I find too when, and again, I think this is so important so that people can see sort of the behavior just in case they're in this kind of behavior. You get into this sometimes, you're so protective of everything and you wear so many masks that you get really good at also hiding the disorder. So, like, I was anorexic just enough and hit it just enough. So I never allowed myself, as soon as someone said, oh God, it looks like you're losing a lot of weight and is everything okay? I was like, oh, I got to eat a little more just to kind of balance it out. And that became another form of control for me, learning how to like balance that out so no one ever noticed. And it was funny because I wasn't really good at hiding it at the beginning. And a lot of people noticed. And my friends noticed, and it wasn't until when I was in high school, my friends went to my guidance counselor, and then my guidance counselor called me in. It was like an intervention. And he was like, listen, it's either you tell your parents or I tell your parents. And I was like, fine, I'll tell my parents. But at the time, my dad was with this other woman, and I'm like, I will tell her. And I told her, and it was received so poorly. Like, how dare you bring this to me now? I really need your father right now. Like, how dare you be suffering? And I just had this conversation on another podcast where I was like, I could feel the entire, like, just a shield. Just a shield. I was like, oh, I gotta get better at this now. I have to get better at this because asking for help is bad. Kind of like what you said, all of a sudden I'm too much. I'm too much, right? So you just get so good at it and protective that even when you know it's not doing anything for you anymore. When you need to leave that rock bottom, it's really hard to let go of those masks because they've become your little protectors. Every little part of you was a part of you keeping you safe. So it's like learning how to be safe all over again.
Yeah, well, it's your identity, right?
Totally your identity. Yeah. And then you're also getting comments from friends and family too, of I had no idea, why didn't you come to me? Like, so you're dealing with their emotions as well because they're feeling so guilty that they didn't notice and didn't realize it. And you have to tell them, well, it's because I got really good at lying. Right? So it's like there's so much discomfort in that. So
There is.
yeah. How So I'd love to know because you are now this like phenomenal coach, and I love it too because you always talk about soul embodiment, like, and being a mentor. How did you get into that work, the work that you do now? And I'm sure you work with a lot of women. Like, how did you get into this work? Like, it's so unique.
Thank you. Well, like I promised myself, I knew the life that I had been living. I knew it was like, even though it felt so safe and comfortable and certain, I knew it was so detrimental. Like I'm lucky to be alive. And so I made a promise to myself, like if I can get to the root cause and really support myself in getting back into my soul self, get back into my body and really heal and transform, I'll do everything in my power to support others on their journey. And so I've just made a promise to myself. And so I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know what that felt like. I was a nurse, which was not perfect for me at all. It was not a healthy profession for me. I stuck with it for 18 years, but that's another story. But after working with my first coach, I was like, this is amazing. Like, I am so inspired. He was actually coached and trained by Tony Robbins. And so that's kind of what led me first into the world of coaching, as I took one of my first coach trains was through Tony Robbins and Chloe Madonis. And it was like a beautiful balance of coach and therapy. And so that was my first journey. And then it started to continue on this place of, like I mentioned, like I was obsessed with yoga and meditation. That was just something that really, I didn't, people ask like how, because I've been, I'll be 9 years free from the bulimia on June 5th. And people ask how you did it. And that's like, I don't know. Like, I do know now, but in hindsight, it was just getting back into my body and trusting. So that led me into getting in the world of, because I've always been this little light leader, spiritual being, empath, intuitive. So I was always inspired in that world. So that led me into the world of Kundalini yoga and meditation. So I got my training in that. Then that led me into another world where I got into NLP and hypnosis. So I studied that. And then because I never once believed I was worthy enough to invest in myself, and now like that is the first thing I will ever do is prioritize like investing in myself, because I know what it has done for me, and in turn it creates this beautiful ripple effect within like my community and the collective, right? So
Absolutely.
yeah, so I just keep investing in myself, and it's not because I feel like I'm not enough. It's like I just know the more modalities that I have, the more that I'm able to heal. And because there's always a layer to heal through, I don't know if you can relate, but there's always these things that arise. So yeah, it's just been my mission to really support individuals to the best of my ability, but first always embodying what I'm learning first. So I'm a firm believer to practice what you teach and embody, or sorry, practice what you preach and embody what you teach, because
Yeah, it's sharing from your own experiences and, then picking up a tool or practice a modality that, you feel like saved your life, and then making this like agreement with the universe to say, okay, if you guide me in the right direction, I promise I will teach this. That's such a soul embodiment agreement you can make with yourself and with the universe and with the women that you're working with. And what I always find so interesting, every single time I talk to someone on the Sisterhood podcast who works a lot with other women, they typically didn't have good relationships and, growing up with young girls or young women. And then all of a sudden, they go through this massive healing, step into their feminine, because, so often we're so much in our masculine. And then now it's like, I need to support other women and show other women that it can be not just another way for themselves, but that other women can support other women. That's like such a through line, such a theme for all the women who have been on the show. When I ask, what was your relationship growing up with other young girls or other women? And it was like, oh, it was terrible. I was bullied. It was this, it was that, never felt connected. And then now it's like full on like sisterhood and coaching and going on group retreats together. And it's all with other women, something you could have never imagined you would ever do.
Yeah, it's honestly, yeah, it's funny because my husband and I have been going to Costa Rica for years, and I always was like, one day I'm going to host a retreat here. And I was like, all these sister wounds, like, were, and I'm still healing from sister wounds. And
Same.
like, I've had experiences over the last even year and or 2 years with past, like, oh my goodness, like, and that is another, like, that has just ignited another layer of like fire for me to support individuals, because there's a lot of wounded healers out there and causing a lot of trauma and a lot of harm.
Absolutely.
But what led me into that is just like, okay, like I see it, I feel it, I can experience what this retreat looks like. So How can you lean in
Hmm.
and do the work to support yourself in holding the space for others? So,
It's so
yeah.
beautiful. It's so beautiful. That's you saying like we always have another layer. Like it just reminds me so much of something I've been talking about a lot lately, which is do all the spiritual work, but don't forget you're also a human being. And there's so many levels to that and so many things to that. And it's not that we always need to be in personal development and constantly changing ourselves, but we have to be aware of these like feelings we have and this deepness that we have. And I talk about this, I created sisterhood because I had female friendship wounds to heal. I had sisterhood wounds to heal. And for me, I heal when I'm healing myself and I'm sharing and I'm helping other people heal as well. And we get to heal together through that experience. So it's been so healing for me and challenging to only be interviewing and having conversations and being in connection with women, which because previously, it was all men, and you were in that too. Like you were so much in your masculine growing up. And then, even though you would think nursing would be feminine, I know a lot about the nursing industry because I used to facilitate stress management workshops for nurses. And one of them was bullying in the workplace. And a big part of that was the nursing industry. So that's also a masculine world. So now to be in this, which has served you because now you get to be a perfect blend of both the feminine and the masculine, because we need both, right? You are getting spiritual guidance constantly, which is so amazing. And that's like our feminine energy that we allow that to come through. But we need that masculine energy as well to help us to take action and give us that like drive to actually do the work. So we need both. It's just sometimes we become so imbalanced because we grow up thinking we need to be masculine to survive in this world or to protect ourselves.
So
Yeah.
true. So true.
So one of the things, so I have a few things that like I'm looking at the time. I'm like, I'm just gonna like totally not even ask any of the things that I want to ask because I just want to like go deeper and deeper with you. So I want to talk about a few things that you teach in your work because you're so active on social media, which thank you, by the way, for that, providing so much value on social media. And it's not noise. It's literally pure value where I feel like you're coaching me on a social media post, which is like that honestly is so wonderful in today's world of social media. So first, thank you. Thank you for that. One of the things you talk about in your work is to have us to no longer dim our light. That was one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about today, because I would imagine that a big part of being our authentic self means no longer dimming our light. How can we do that when we're not fully being accepted by others for being our authentic self? And we're not being accepted for being our authentic self. And that's the thing that's making us dim our light. How do we do that when we don't, in that moment, feel worthy to be our authentic selves? Or someone straight out saying, I don't like you.
So beautiful. It's really not going to the external validation, right? So it's like if I want to express myself as my most authentic self, then be your most authentic self, right? If you want to receive the support, give it to yourself. And anything else is an added bonus, right? When we dim our light, it's because we are going outside of ourselves. We aren't trusting ourselves. We are going out to see who will love me, who will accept me. And if you don't, and I'm shining too bright, then I'm going to dim my light, right? So it's really coming into the space of embodiment, like trusting, like, this is my light. These are my gifts. This is who I'm here to serve. This is who I'm here to support. And how can I let my body know that it's safe for me to be in this space, right? Because it's our body, like our body holds on to the trauma, whether it's a big T or a little T, big trauma, little trauma, our body holds on to that memory, right? And so when we get activated, it's like, oh, that person's not seeing me. Then it puts us into this activated response, right? So it's like, how can you let your body know, like, hey, we're safe here. Like, this wouldn't be coming through. These gifts wouldn't be coming through. This divine download wouldn't be coming through if it wasn't meant for you. And so how can you let your body know that you're safe here and you don't need to go outside to receive the validation? And if you do, how can you give that validation to yourself?
Yeah, I think sometimes that gets so skewed. Don't dim your light and allow yourself to be seen. I think it gets skewed sometimes with the idea that that means we need external validation. And I think it's so important to be able to discern that difference. There is such a difference because even if we don't receive the external validation, it might hurt. Like it still hurts me when someone like trolls me online. It still hurts me. But it doesn't prevent me from showing up anymore. Like now I'm just like, yeah, that really sucked. I'm gonna have to work on that. Right? I'm gonna need to do the work around that and get that up and out. But I'm still gonna post that thing that I feel really needs to be posted today and shared today. I'm still gonna create this. I'm still going to say this. Because I just know that if I don't, I become a pressure cooker. It's like when you get these nudges and this like guidance, I find it like, and if you don't share it, it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds. And you just feel like this pressure cooker wanting to explode because that thing that needs to be shared with your community, with the collective who's like your audience online, they need to hear it so badly that it's like the universe is like just like trying to scream it through you. So it has to come out no matter what, even though it's really difficult sometimes with the trolls, right?
Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah. And not just that, there's so much conflicting information out there. You go online and especially in our spiritual community, right? I'm very spiritual, you're very spiritual. A lot of the practices that we have used to heal ourselves have been very spiritually driven, and it's one of the most like conflicting industries, if you will, because spirituality is in us. It's not an industry, but the stuff sometimes online makes it feel like an industry. So, like, it's like, I'm right and this spiritual teacher's wrong. And that person over there is like, oh my God, but that thing's really been working for me. Now I'm being told it's wrong. So they let it go. They start doing this other thing instead of doing what you teach, which is trusting your body. When you're out of your body and you know that you need to tap into your body and connect and like come back to what you know is true, is there something that you do now that just is really natural? Like, it's like, this is how I come back to my truest self.
Yeah, so like if I'm in my head, yeah, so if I'm in my head and I'm like spiraling, it's like now I can catch myself for the most part. I'm human, so I still have human experiences. And sometimes I get stuck in my head for too long. But I have practices, like I have a rebounder I go on and I just like get into that and I listen. I love Abraham. So Abraham Hicks, I tend to listen to them a lot. So I put that on if I just can't get out of my head and just move my body so I can get back into my body. Dance is like huge for me. Kundalini is huge for me. So it's just like moving the energy and it's not bypassing any emotion or anything. It's like really allowing yourself to feel what it is and then do whatever you can to release it so you're not sitting in it or suppressing it.
That's why I was so connected to you, because when we connected during the pandemic, and I had gone down this like deep rabbit hole of the manifestation industry, and I was so confused because there was so much of it was talking about not feeling your feelings, and it felt like such a bypass to me because I'm like, everything I've learned up to this point has been like
Oh.
getting those feelings up and out. And the reason why I connected so deeply with you was you were like, this is how you can get those feelings up and out. So you're like, okay, we don't want to take up permanent residence in this, of course, right? We want to get these feelings out. Here's a beautiful practice that can help you feel it and connect to that, to your spiritual self, that soul embodiment, right? So I loved that because I was like, I can't bypass this. Like, there's nothing
No.
I can do. Like, I'm a human being. I cannot bypass these emotions. And I think so often, again, just depending on how the teacher is teaching it, sometimes there's not enough context unless you're like, you're working with them or having a conversation with them. And the person on the other end is thinking, oh my God, if I'm not in joy, or if I'm not feeling happy, or if I'm not feeling positive all the time, then I'm never going to have the life that I want. And you're sharing something completely different.
Yeah. Oh man. I won't say too much about that, but that's just not okay.
I know.
I'm a firm believer, like, it's hard to share exactly the work I do because it's not tangible, but mm-hmm. this is the foundational work, is really going in and healing these emotional blocks, these energetic blocks, right? Because mm-hmm. if we aren't doing this foundational work, whatever we are wanting to create, co-create, manifest, it won't be sustainable, because it will come crumbling down if we're not doing this inner work, if we aren't healing these mm-hmm. parts of ourselves that we are denying, that we aren't allowing ourselves to see. Like, mm-hmm.
I heard the best description, which said, it's like building your foundation on sand. You can't sustain it.
No, yeah. You can't. You can't bypass the stuff. Like, this is the work. Like, this is the work that will set you free, right? Mm-hmm. And it truly is. And it's learning.
No, you go.
No, I was going to say, it's just learning to like rebuild a relationship with your body, so you feel safe and supported within the space to then heal on that mm-hmm. deep level, right?
Yeah. And sometimes you don't even know what your body's holding on to. I went to mm-hmm. one of your retreats so we started with the beautiful meditation, and then we went into this dance. And at first I was really uncomfortable because I'm like by myself, I'm like, I'm dancing, and you just like move the way you want to move. Right. And when I hopped on at first, I was like, man, I'm so pumped up. I'm having the best day. And then I started to move my body, and I could feel these emotions bubble up. And I just cried through the whole dance. And I didn't even have words for it or thoughts for it. But when I was done, I felt so like I had released something. And I couldn't mm-hmm. even, I think the hard part of that was I couldn't describe it. So I had to remind myself that sometimes it's okay if we can't put words to it, or we can't like overanalyze something, right?
Yeah.
Just like let it up. Obviously something was in there that needed to come up, and it came up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's like the body, the embodiment, right? Is mm-hmm. sometimes your body knows way, most of the time, your body knows way more than your mind knows, because your body's job is to keep you safe. Your nervous system, like everything within your body, is to keep you safe. So yeah, sometimes that safety is, man, we got to release this.
Yeah. Movement is medicine. I'm a firm believer. Like, I have shed so many tears on my mat, in Kundalini, in the soul flow, somatic embodiment practice, dance, like I've released so much. And it's just like, I know for some, it might feel confronting and overwhelming. And also like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
However, I do invite you to lean in, because this is what's going to set you free. Like, and it's beautiful, because we aren't consciously aware of it at times, what it is that we're releasing. And that's what's yeah. so beautiful. It's just like this somatic release of energy and memories and trauma that we've been holding on to, and we don't have to relive that. We just get to like release it on an energetic and an emotional level. It's so powerful.
It is so powerful, because I know from my own experience, sometimes I don't know what's wrong. I'm mm-hmm. just feeling melancholy. I'm just feeling sad. I'm just, you know, I can't put my finger on it. I mean, like pick something that's going on in the world, right?
Like, oh yeah.
Like, just take it out of the hat. And sometimes I don't know. So like that embodiment practice that, you know, you did, it was such a good reminder for me, or it really taught me that it doesn't have to be one thing, and you don't need to know. I think because I'm just so used to talk therapy, where it's like, you know, you have to come up with a problem, even if there's not a problem, because you're spending $150 for this hour therapy call. So you better have a problem. You better name it. Because sometimes we can't name it. Sometimes it's
No.
just, I'm feeling melancholy. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling something. And it could have been something that I saw in the news that like triggered a response. And so I can't name it. So being able to turn to something like what you teach, it's so beautiful because I get to cry in such a safe way and release it in such a safe way without having to relive it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't want to. God, like there has to.
No.
Sometimes I'm just like, I just want to be out in nature and just just leave it out there on my nature walk so that when I get back in my car, I just left it. I didn't have to do anything with it. I didn't need to journal it. All wonderful practices. I didn't need to talk it through. I just needed to like walk it out and just be like, all right, Mother Nature, you can take this. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Or dance. It sounds like for you, like, that dancing again, do you think it's because you spent so much time ignoring your feminine and dancing is like just releases so much feminine energy?
Yeah, I think it's because one, I denied my feminine forever, and also too, like I spent so much time disconnected from my body, dissociated. So now it's like as soon as I can feel something off energetically, it's like, okay, what's going on? There's something going on within my body. There's something I'm not acknowledging. There's something I might be suppressing. And so what can I do to support myself in that space? And it's always movement. It's some sort of, and it's not from a, like, again, if we're speaking to eating disorder, which is like not to burn calories or to for any punishment. It's like there's no more punishment. It's all love. It's like, how can I love myself through this? How can I support myself through this? And it's always like coming back into my body and letting myself know I'm safe here. Like I'm safe. I'm supported. You feel activated for whatever occurred, and I've got you, right? It's that remembrance.
You use that word a lot, you like in our conversation just now, but you also use it a lot and in stuff that you share on social media, the word safe. You use that so often. And when you say it, I can like feel myself relax. Is that why you just know that you felt safe for so long that just like reminding people it's safe to be seen, it's safe to feel, it's safe to be in your body, it's safe, safe, safe. Is that like, are you just trying to like have it like so programmed into their subconscious mind that you just want them so deeply to know in this moment, like everything is safe?
Yeah, I know from my own personal experiences, from all the way from when I was a little young child to teenage to adulthood to being with other women and mentors and coaches, like whenever I didn't feel safe, it's just like it is like my soul's purpose to ensure whoever is in my energetic space that they feel safe. And so, yeah, it's like, yes, like it's ingraining it into, yeah, your subconscious mind. Like you are safe, you are supported, because so many times we don't feel safe, right? Like, so
Yeah.
it's vital. It's a vital piece.
That's why, my brain growing up, it just like I was always in so much fear and so much unworthiness and had all this stuff that I needed to add all of these unhealthy coping mechanisms to keep me safe. And it was because my brain was doing exactly what it needed to do, which was it thought it needed to protect me by saying, the only way to be safe is to put up this mask. The only way to be safe is to dim your light. The only way to be safe is to be quiet. The only way to be safe is to not share that you're struggling. And it's like all of these messages that we have to change that it actually is safe. That doesn't mean that that person that we say, listen, I'm not okay today, it doesn't mean that they're going to be the right person. Maybe sometimes, when I told that woman that, like, by the way, the guidance counselor is going to be calling you, here's what's going on, I have an eating disorder. Even though she didn't make me feel safe, someone else would have, but that's not how I took it. So it's been years of reprogramming that I just need to find the right people that make me feel safe to share that experience that I'm going through when I'm not okay. And also to
And
my and sharing the good things in our life to feel safe doing that as well.
yeah, and also letting yourself know you're safe, right? Again, so instead of going outside of finding people safe, like to feel safe, it's like, how can I make myself feel safe, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you talk to yourself a lot? Because I talk to myself all
Always.
the
Always. And I'm like
Yeah.
always like touching myself. I'm like, you're safe, you're supported, I love you. Like, yeah, all the time. I'm always
Yeah.
loving myself and I'm always holding myself. Yeah.
I do that too, because it wasn't until I realized that I had to stop looking to the external world to make me feel that way and do and make myself feel that way. Not to say never ask for help, of course, but we need our own healthy ways to keep ourselves safe as well and to take care of our own mental and emotional health as well. Because if we can't do that by ourselves, we'll always be in this cycle of thinking that someone else always has to save us. Someone else has the answer and I don't, when I do have the answer, I do know. So I'm talking to myself all the time. I touch my body all the time as well when I'm really scared. Like I just recorded a really difficult podcast for Sisterhood, and it's a tough conversation. And the whole time I was like, hand on my chest, hand on my belly. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, this is safe. It's not going to resonate with everyone. You're going to have people who disagree, but it's still safe because I knew, because I kept getting that guidance. Like every time I'd open up my journal, what do you want me to share today? It was just like constant. I kept getting the guidance to have that conversation. So I knew I had to, but it felt so unsafe to do it.
Good
So
for
I
you.
did, you do, you have to remind yourself all the time that
You
it's
have
safe
to.
for you to do this. So safe to be seen is a really big one because you work with a lot of women in business. So, and you share that sentiment a lot as well. Like it's safe for you to be seen, use your voice. I would imagine so many women that you work with don't feel safe to be seen. So what is something that we can do to get to that place, like a little baby step, so that we can make ourselves feel safe to be seen, especially, women in business who need to put themselves out there.
I love how everything is just so aligned. It's so funny. Everything's so divine. And I'm not even surprised anymore, but it's so funny. So this is something I'm working through, working with, and something I wrote about this morning that I haven't shared, but I'll share after our podcast on Instagram. But so in the conversation around safety, like it's so important that we feel safe. Like that is primary, right? And it's important to, so it's in human needs, we have six human needs, but a lot of people, some people crave uncertainty, but for the majority, people crave certainty. And so in that certainty, it's like safety, right? And in uncertainty, it's variety and it doesn't feel safe. It can feel very foreign and uncomfortable, right? And so leaning into feeling safe in the uncertainty is something that I'm really excited to talk about because in that uncertainty. So perhaps for me, I'll speak about myself here as an example, but I feel very comfortable in certain areas or certain communities or certain individuals. I feel safe here, right? And
Yeah.
so it's great. However, it's also stagnating my growth because I'm not showing up and being seen in other spaces that will really feel uncomfortable and it's not unsafe, but it feels unsafe for me. It feels uncertain. So how can you let yourself feel safe in whatever community you're in, whether it's one that you're comfortable with, or perhaps you want to lean into a space that feels less comfortable? How can you allow yourself to feel safe in the uncertainty? And that is what it all comes down to, is like embrace the uncertainty and how can you make yourself feel supported and safe in that uncertain space?
So what are things that you've been doing to step into that discomfort, but still let yourself know, especially let your body know, who's gonna like want to be like, no, freeze. What
Yeah.
do you do in those moments? Is like that connecting to your body, speaking to yourself, all of the above?
Yeah. Really, it's just like moving my body. So it's just like the embodiment, like you're safe here. This is your message. Yes, you may have people that get activated from it. And it's not that you are intentionally wanting to activate people, but like your podcast that you shared, some people are going to love it, some people are not. And it doesn't matter, right? Like the message is coming through for you, and this is what's meant to be shared. So how can you let yourself be feel safe in that space, right? So it's just like, again, movement, let your body know, like, hey, Yeah, you are showing up at a different level. You are showing up on a different frequency, and it doesn't feel comfortable for you. So let yourself know, like, I've got you. And it's also your little inner child that's freaking out too, right? You're gonna get
Absolutely.
rejected. Don't do
Absolutely.
it. Or you're gonna leave people behind, or you're shining too bright. Like, whatever it is that we've been telling ourselves, it's just like, okay, I hear you, and I'm moving in this direction. So just, yeah, movement and affirmations, like the incantation.
Well,
Yeah.
it's just that self-talk. I think that's so important. You know, I know for me, that's so helpful is that self-talk. Talking to myself, talking to that 10-year-old girl. Sometimes I know exactly that I'm reacting based on like an 8-year-old's experience. So I'm not talking to the 43-year-old me who knows better. I'm talking to the 8-year-old who went through that traumatic experience and she needed to hear something specific. So I kind of take myself back and I'm like, what would that 8-year-old have needed to hear? Or what would she have needed? And sometimes it's just that, like, man, I've got you. I know no one had you at then, but I have you now. I have you now. I've got it. I'm 43 years old now. We're good. We've done the healing. We have our support system. We have our tools. Like, and I talk to her as though she's, even though I know it is me, I talk to her as though she's separate. And it's like being that mother to that other part of me that in that moment needed that mothering and didn't get it. We can give that to ourselves now. So yeah, I love the whole body thing because I know you, like I don't stalk you on social media, but I follow everything because I was like, this is the guidance I need today. You spend a lot of time in nature and your retreats are all body-based as well. So like you're just so fully connected, right?
Fully connected within myself and my body.
Yourself, your body, the universe, Mother Nature, like so you really know how to ground yourself.
I do, yeah. And in that, I'm a human, so I still have my experiences, right? So, I think it's so important for people to know, like, no one's perfect, and no one has it all together all the time. Like, we don't. I don't. And if we are putting people on pedestals and believe that they are, like, kick that pedestal down, because you are me, I am you, we are we, right? And so, yeah, I have my practices that get me grounded, and I have my embodiment practices to get myself back into my body. And when I get activated, sometimes I hang out in my head for a little too long. However, I do have the practices and the modalities to get myself back to center at a lot faster rate. So.
I love that because I think that's so important. We need to be sharing that part of the conversation that sometimes I think gets missed when you're a teacher or you're a coach. You're sharing so many tools and so many practices because you don't want anyone to ever feel alone. So they start to believe that, well, nothing bothers them, right? They're
Yeah.
so perfect. They're positive all the time. They're happy all the time. And it's so important to share, like, no, it's not if life's going to happen, it's when, right? There are a lot of things that happen in the world. Externally in our world, and that invoke those emotions in us. So it really is learning those tools that we can turn to, not to never experience a negative emotion again, but to help us through it. That like up and out, that like your Kundalini retreats that you do, it's like that's what it is. It's like taking that moment to just, even if you don't think there's anything, right? Or you can't name it, like just that, like. And usually it's the most simplistic things I find. Like you wouldn't think that moving your body would help get anything out emotionally, but man, it's so powerful and it's the most simplistic practice because we can even just move our arms, even if you're in your chair and you can't move at your desk, like there's so much you can do to like get back into your body.
100%. Breath work too is key, right? Like, breath is our like most underutilized tool that we have to be able to use in any given moment. Yeah. It's like when we're in our heads, it's like we spiral. It's like, oh, what can I do to like change? And as a society, we're taught to not deal with our emotions. We're not taught to heal whatever's coming through. Like a little child hits the ground in the playground and starts crying, and they get swept up. Don't cry, you're okay. It's like, allow the person to cry, allow them to feel, allow them to heal, right? And so when we go into these places of like feeling activated, it's like, what can I do to allow myself to experience what I'm experiencing? And what can I do to allow myself to release this as opposed to suppress it? So breath work is beautiful. Movement is beautiful. Like there's so many things that we can do to acknowledge, feel, and then release.
Absolutely. It reminds me of something. You know, my little niece the other day on Easter, I was with her and she's 4 now. And she fell and she hit her head on the chair and she looked around first to see how all the adults were going to react, and no one reacted because we're all just like, if we don't react, maybe, you know, it'll go away. And she just started to bawl, just started to bawl. So I picked her up and I was like, just cry, let it out, let it out, instead of telling her you're not hurt. I don't know if that didn't hurt her or not hurt her in that moment, whether it hurt her or she's embarrassed or whatever it might be. I was like, I just kept tapping her back, like, let it out, let it out, let it out. And then I could feel her relax. Like, you know, she was just like, okay, I'm done. And I was like, oh, yes, it's done now, right? So it's like being that, showing her that it's okay to just like totally just let it out, and not even at that age, we so often be like, don't cry, because we don't want them to be hurt.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. And it probably felt so good for her to just like release that too, right?
Yeah, for sure. Last week I had like I broke down like crying 3 times and I was like, yes, this is so great.
Oh,
It's important, you
it
know, the
is.
release. And I bless you for doing that with your niece. That's like, let's make that a thing for everyone to lead with, because it's so important to hold the space for others to experience whatever
Absolutely.
they're experiencing.
Yeah, absolutely. And feel your feelings and find those practices that you can make yourself feel safe in those moments. Even if it's simply saying, you are safe. You are safe. I don't want to let you go. Any last words of wisdom? So I don't have any men who listen to this. So for all the women out there who are listening, any last words of wisdom that, because you're intuitive and you get the guidance, anything coming through that you're like, man, this is just something that I just feel so intuitively guided to share.
Well, what is coming through, and I'll just trust it, is like for those that are building the business, because you brought that up a few times in our conversation, for those who are building their businesses, like the foundational work is the inner work. The foundational work is like the emotional and energetic work. And I know when I first started my journey in coaching, like I saw a lot of business coaches and I was like, well, that's cool. But I know, and that's why I always resisted marketing myself as a business coach, even though I've been in business for 6 years and I have all the systems and structures and everything in place, and I have this intuitive knowing how to guide. I resisted it because if we aren't doing the foundational work, then our businesses are going to collapse. If we aren't like, and this is where the roller coaster results come from, if we aren't doing this inner work. So that's what's coming through to share.
I love that. And it's our inner work too, that we get so many juicy nuggets. Like, it's most of my creative moments that I have are from like going through a certain like experience, whether that's a really joyful experience, a really sad experience. Like, it's those like high intense moments that I get my creative juices from. So it's, I love that so much, because again, it just comes back to that if we're not doing the inner work, then we're building our foundation on sand, because I can't show up in my business. I haven't, like, I don't show up in my business or with my clients if I myself I'm just like a total mess. Right. So it's like, okay, I need to take a break, because I need support right now. I need to support myself. I need to take care of my mental, emotional, and physical health. So I'm going to have to put the other things aside right now and take care of me so that I can be stronger for them and show up for them without triggering or I love your word, activating them. I love that word activate more than trigger, without activating something in them, whether it's a small T or big T trauma, because we do that as well when we are out of our, you know, authentic selves, and when we are activated ourselves and haven't healed it.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. It's so important to prioritize yourself and take space for you when needed. Like last week I was sick. I canceled everything. I was like, I can't help anybody unless I'm helping myself. So I just prioritized my self-care, and that's what I did. So
I love that. It's so important. And again, reminds everyone like, hey, by the way, I teach this work, but I'm also still a human being. So it's like, I think that's why I just, again, I love everything about you, but I love that you practice what you preach. You're not like saying, do as I say, not as I do.
No, so like, I am not your guru.
No,
you are your own guru.
You fully embody that. And I think, again, it comes back to this word. That's why I feel safe with you. And that's why I feel safe when I'm watching you on Instagram, having this conversation with you. It's because you fully embody both your spiritual self and your human self, your feminine and your masculine. And it's just so beautiful. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Oh, well,
I love this conversation. It was so great to be here with you.
Me too. And I have about 8 more things that I'd like to talk to you about. So we will save that for another episode so that you can go take a break, do an embodiment practice, and then get ready for the rest of your day that you have. So before we go, where do you like to spend the most time that people can connect with you and just like dive into all your magic?
Yeah, thank you. I'm on Instagram at the Megan Weir. So
that's where you enjoy being. So I will make sure I'll put the link in the show notes and link to your website and your stories on your website as well. And you also have free resources on your website. And you have, I mean, your whole Instagram page is like one big free resource. So I will also make sure everyone has the magical links on how to connect with you. Cause like, it just, oh man, it's so refreshing to see someone on social media just provide so much beautiful content. So again, thank you so much for that. In a really noisy social media world, that is so huge. That is so important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. And I can't wait to talk to you again.
Yes, me too.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.